Welcome into In-Game Chat for Saturday, April the 4th, 2026. This season 20, episode 10. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
I had to think about it for a minute there. If you want to be involved in the show, we're on Discord. Why not join us over there? You can also go to ingamechat.net for all the links and ways to get in touch with us and interact with us. If you want to do it through email, everyone at ingamechat.net. If you want to do it on Twitch, go to twitch.tv. Join us in the chat room. AC Wraith, Lethal Migraine hanging out in there, and some others, which will be joining soon, I'm sure. And we've also got Discord going on as well, which you can find our Discord by going to our website, ingamechat.net. Go all the way to the bottom of the page. You'll see the link to join us on Discord and join in the show. Talk to us and everything else. Also, thank you, Dave. Just got a text from Dave saying they have a great show. He must be working, probably, maybe, I don't know. So, yeah, anyway. Well, welcome in. Also, Steve is in Discord, but he is not he's not joining us today because I forgot it's a holiday weekend, and so you know he got the kids, and the kids gotta you know visit with the families and the things and the stuffs that you do. It has not felt like a holiday weekend type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just has not registered for me. But yeah,
there are plenty of holidays on the calendar that just doesn't register.
There are. There's plenty that... Now, obviously, the ones that affect me, like, you know, having time off, like, you know, hey, we're off that day. I'm going to remember those because I have to do so much prep here in order for me to have that day off. So that's one... Those are the ones that are easiest to remember, but yeah.
For me, it's Labor Day. I keep forgetting that holiday.
Yeah?
I keep, like...
See, I can't because I have to prep for us to have that day off, and there's a lot of that goes into that here.
Mm-hmm.
When I say us, I don't necessarily mean us as the show. We don't do a show that weekend either, but I'm talking about my regular day-to-day here. Mm. There's a lot of effort that goes into making sure that we don't have to come in for that. Mm. So, yeah. So, yeah, there's that. I'm trying to think if there's anything else to go over before we jump into what we've been playing. Currently, we have a... For anybody who's interested, and I'll throw a link up there so you guys can go and understand what I'm talking about. I'll put it in Twitch and maybe put it in Discord too or something like that. So there are wait a second. Hang on, let me check this video real quick, please. We may have already had a... We do have a hatchling.
Hmm?
Yeah, we do. 2 hours ago, this was posted. So anyway, there's Eagle Cam that we got going on. It is Big Bear Valley in California.
Hmm.
They have this... the some kind of conservationist thing, group, whatever.
Hmm.
Has a camera up at an eagle's nest. And it's been there for years, and people tune in every year. And this same eagle group, the same eagle couple, every year, you know, it's the same nest, same group. They try and have babies and that sort of thing. For years and years and years, I watched failed. It just didn't work. And then last year, we finally had babies. And now this year, they're doing it again. And right now, we saw cracks into the eggs. And now we've got one, and I'll post this video of the actual little baby head sticking out. But then what I want to post is the actual live cam where you can go and just watch this 24/7. So those are the two links that are in Twitch chat. But if you aren't in Twitch chat and you're curious about what I'm talking about, go to YouTube and search Big Bear Eagle Cam, and you'll be able to find it. So, yeah. But that's great. I've been watching, waiting to see, like, if we're going to have, you know, any little baby burbs. And it looks like we're getting baby burbs. So, that's fantastic. Wonderful. All right, welcome into the show. Sorry. That's going to be on. That's still going to be on over on this screen here. So I'm going to be looking at that, you know, every now and again watching that. It's just fun to watch nature, man. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about what we've been playing, and I'll throw it over to RJ first, as I always do.
I would have played GTA Online, but there's been a glitch in the system ever since they updated this past week. Apparently, what happens is when you're playing online, all of a sudden, if you're in a public lobby, everyone starts getting randomly kicked out. And the game resets and goes back to the main menu. I don't know what's going on, but I would have done some stuff in there, but that glitch is keeping me from doing anything special in there. But before the glitch started happening, there was a event going on with Los Santos wildlife photography. Every day they give you three animals to photograph in-game, and if you do so, they give you double or quadruple if you have the GTA Plus membership. So I was getting like 40 grand of in-game currency for each animal that you photograph. Not a bad thing. Unless one of those animals is a cougar, which is the up in the mountains, and they will kill you on sight. So yeah. Instead of pulling your weapon to defend yourself, you're trying to line up a shot, and this thing is charging at you full speed. So get prepared to get killed numerous times trying to get that picture if it ever comes up in the dailies, if you're going through that thing. Outside of that, more grinding in First Ascendant. I've got another character of mine built up to the point where I can add all the perks and modifiers that I want on there. You've had to do some building of your character to get it up to snuff so you can actually do that. So that's what I've been doing with this character. But the thing is, though, this has been the quickest grind I've ever taken part in any type of game, even more than Destiny or GTA Online or anything like that, because the level cap for each character is 40, right? But if you get the right mission and play with the right people, you can get to level 25 in one run of a task on the game. So, you know, two or three runs of that, and you're already at level 40, and you can build up your character quicker and faster than I ever could in any grinding type game that I've played in.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been beneficial. That and the fact that I've got a lot of characters I need to do that with. So it won't take too long before I get everything where I want to be. Just the question is now, do I have enough material to do that? So that's what I've been playing this week, and what I'll probably be doing most of next week as well.
All right. Well, I know for me, it has been, you know, the Marvel Snap stuff, and, you know, my little...
Mm-hmm.
That I kind of got to the end point of that. I mean,
so there's an end point.
There is, yeah. Okay. At least so far, I'm getting the feeling that there is. I don't know what happens. There's one final scratch off, but the problem with this scratch off is if you you have to match all three, and it is the most difficult one. If you fail it, you die, and you have to start over. When I say die, you know what I'm saying? It resets you.
Yeah.
And you get to, you know, spend your points in the prestige shop and then start again.
Mm.
It's not hard to start again, to be honest with you, anymore. Used to be kind of the more you do it, the more you go through it, the more you prestige and the more you, you know, pick more.
I think you get more stuff to allow you to make it easier.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, now you can start with $100, which lets you buy a ticket real easily, and then you can start getting money quicker that way. Let you start with a lot of things that you've already bought. So, yeah, it helps you each and every time you go through the run. It helps you again and again and again.
Yeah.
So,
you talked about it last time. You had like items that let you that you keep. Like the trash can and the things like that to let you makes life easier, basically.
Yeah.
The game.
Yeah.
You get to keep those throughout the thing. So even if you die at the end, you still have those things to help you out.
And I've won tons and tons of money to buy ever how many tickets that I need to. I mean, the money is no longer any kind of an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, you get an ability to scratch off the final ticket, and it takes a soul away, but you get something to produce souls with money. And so that means you can continue to scratch this final ticket as long as you got souls to spare to try and get it. But you've got like a 1% chance of hitting a jackpot on it. And so that's all I have left to do according to what I know so far. Should I hit the jackpot on this one? Does the game end? I don't know. Does it continue on, or does it do something else to make me keep going? I have no idea. Mm. I really don't know.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm currently at with that game. And it's a little... It was fun to get there, but it's a little kind of like...
Is it getting tedious or same old, same old?
Yeah, kind of annoying. I mean, you got a 1% chance, you know, mm-hmm. of scoring. And I thought that if I respect after getting to that point and trying it a couple of times, I thought that maybe every time you die and come back, it would increase your chance by a percentage or something like that. And mm-hmm. It doesn't. It doesn't seem to.
And there's nothing in the game that will help you.
That I can tell, no. Yeah. That I can tell, no, there's not. So it's one of those things where I've gotten to it, and maybe I'll log in and try a couple of scratches to see if I get something, and if I don't, then I'm done. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll do something else, because I don't really want to respec it again. But the amount increases every time you generate a soul, the amount to generate the next soul increases.
Costs more, yeah.
Increases, which is not necessarily a problem, because I've got tickets, tons and tons of tickets and ways that I can just generate money, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, you're going to hit a point where, yeah, it's too much. You know, you're not going to be able to generate that. But do I want to get there? I don't know. It's like, I don't know if I want to spend the time getting there, because I have moved on now to the Raccoin, I think is what it's called. Mm-hmm. RACCOIN.
Mm-hmm.
The Raccoon Coin Game. It's the Rogue. Yeah. It's the Rogue. Rogue coin pusher game. I've been playing that since yesterday, I think, or day before, something like that. I've been playing that and going, Bellatro.
Like slot machine Bellatro.
Very Bellatro-esque.
Yeah.
Down to the music. First off, the pixelization, which you can adjust if you want to.
Mm.
And then down to the music even, and everything's just really, it's RNG and everything else. So, you know, just trying to make a run. I've only beaten one. I've beaten one stage. Well, I say each stage is a different character.
Mm.
So you've got your tutorial guy, then you've got your manager, and then you've got, I don't know, somebody else. I'd have to go look. And it just kind of keeps going from there. And I've beaten, the tutorial is whatever, and then the manager part was like your first guy that you get to play as. And I went ahead and I beat that, and now I'm working on my next one, trying to go through and get to the end. There's 15 rounds you got to get through,
mm-hmm.
which, you know. And each round is, you have a goal to meet each round.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot. So, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm still stuck with that with Bellatro. I'm still stuck on that. Mm-hmm. When the red deck, yellow deck.
Yeah.
I'm still stuck on the yellow deck.
I haven't upped the difficulty of this. Each person doesn't seem to have, I don't necessarily know. I haven't gone through them. It's very early in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But each character that you pick, they have an attribute to them, but nothing that's necessarily negative. Now, there is a difficulty slider. I haven't worked on that yet. But there is a difficulty in the ways you could modify your gameplay. And I can't remember one of the Steam Deck's in the other room charging, mm-hmm. but I can't remember what they all do or what they all are.
Mm-hmm.
But you can change up the difficulty if you want to do that. But yeah, it was like I got it for, I think, $8. I didn't get it off of Steam. Steam does have a deal right now, and if you have one of their other games, well, I say one of their other games, but they've paired it with some games, and if you already have that other game, it significantly reduces the price.
Mm-hmm.
This particular copy, I think I found it, God, I can't remember the name of the company, Game Billet or something like that. I don't remember the name of the storefront. It gave me a Steam code. It was legit, by the way, just so people know, legit storefront. It wasn't wasn't one of those, you know, Russian places or anything like that. It was legit.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a key seller type, reseller type of thing, so perfectly fine. But I've enjoyed that. I've enjoyed doing that. It makes me think, it's like, when am I going to play like a story set game? It's been forever. You know, yeah. I keep picking up these like ball pits and these progressively whatever rogue-like game things. I'm not exactly sure what to call the genre, but I just kind of keep going down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, you've been getting a lot of games that give you a whole lot of bang for the buck.
Yeah, I guess mean, so.
Gives
yeah.
You, gives you, yeah, keeps your attention for a long time. You didn't have to pay much for it. That's the best of both worlds in gaming right now.
Really is. Really, really is. So, yeah. So, that's what I've been playing. And last night I played more of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Splintered Fate.
Okay.
Which is, again, another roguelike. You go through a run, and when you die, while you're doing that run, you're earning all this currency. And when you die, you come back and you spend that currency on better health, larger health bar, less damage, output more damage, that sort of thing. And then you go mm-hmm. back through the run again.
Yeah.
And you collect stuff. Then you go back and you buy and you upgrade. And then you go back and do the run. And so, yeah, this is the kind of, yeah, this is what I'm playing recently.
Hmm.
Nothing really story based or story, you know, linkly type single player, whatever. I still got Spider-Man I could go back to, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't done that in forever.
But look, you and me both got tons of stuff in the backlog that has the story based thing in it.
Starfield's getting an update.
Okay.
Well, because they're getting a release on PlayStation 5 on Tuesday.
Okay.
And so that game is getting an update on PC as well with some free DLC, free expansion.
Okay.
I say it's an expansion. I really don't. I haven't researched it. Mm. It's been forever since I played Starfield. And I may want to jump back into that. I don't know.
Mm.
So we'll have to see.
Okay.
But yeah, that's basically what I've been playing, and that is basically how it's been going for me. Let's see, I'm just looking over Lethal Migraine says the video game industry is collapsing even more. That's the news, same as every week. It really absolutely is.
Yeah.
It's not, the Thar says you forgot Easter. I was like, it's not that really that I forgot. I know Easter still happens. But Easter's a floating holiday. You know? It doesn't always happen this time every year. We don't get off for it, so I don't have to build up any kind of replays and things to run, so it also doesn't trigger for me that, hey, there's a holiday coming up, you know?
Yeah.
That sort of thing. So, yeah. And I guess I haven't been out in stores to see decorations and things. I don't know, man. Just,
you know, I don't recall any decorations. All I saw was signs saying we're going to be closed.
Yeah, well, you know, I say decorations. There's usually, if you go to the grocery store, there's usually that little, there's a thing with all the Easter candy and all the Easter kind of food sitting out and stuff like that.
No, I didn't see that.
I mean, I haven't been to a store that would kind of show that, I guess.
So I've been to grocery stores. I haven't seen that. I haven't seen that. All I've seen was signs which says we're going to be closed this day.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
So, yeah. It's not necessarily that I forgot it. It's one of those things where it's like, oh yeah, that's this weekend. I know Easter's coming, but so anyway. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will jump into the news that Lethal Migraine pretty much nailed, which is the video game industry is collapsing further and further and further, and prices are going higher and higher, and it's just awfully bleak. So, join us as we talk very bleakly about the video game industry, probably. Here is music from Wu-Chang Fallen Feathers. This is Gilded Steel is the name of this track. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back into In-Game Chat. Music here from Tales from the Shire. It's the, everything has to be called the whatever Animal Crossing. Like, there's the Pokemon Animal Crossing, which is Pocopia or whatever. Then there's Tales of the Shire, which was your Hobbit Animal Crossing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Build a village, meet people, you tend to thing, yeah, that sort of stuff. Life Sims, Farming Sims, I don't know what you want to call them, but there's something. They're a thing. Whatever Animal Crossing is, that's the thing that they are. But anyway, welcome back into the show. Okay, jumping into the news. And we were talking... No. We talked about Starfield on the air, not during the break, right?
Yeah,
we did that on the air.
Yeah,
okay.
Starfield was getting
what did we talk about in the break? Because you were asking me about PlayStation 5. Oh, Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, prices and stuff.
Yeah.
The price increases in relation to what options people will have to play it on with the price increases and all the things going on right now.
Right now, they're going to have the option of playing it on a PlayStation 5 or an Xbox Series X.
Series X, yeah. Yeah.
Those are your only two options for playing that game when it comes out.
Yeah, then I was looking at the price increases recently with those
right.
two consoles.
But you picked up a PlayStation 5.
Yeah, just in time.
I'm glad you did.
Yeah, I picked up the Astrobot bundle a while back. So, yeah.
You still haven't started Astrobot, have you?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I haven't. But I got it on the in the library. It's ready for download.
All right, what do we have? Where is... There we go. Do I just want to just jump in? I might as well. Oh, we had April Fools this past week. I don't even know if I want to go into the April Fools thread, man. That whole, like, here's everything that was joked about for April Fools. So, yeah, I actually didn't come across any that I know of. I came across some, like, legit ones where... the Sega store was selling the Sanic shirts.
Sanic?
Yeah.
Yeah, the, like a Spooderman, that type of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like one day only you could buy the shirts with Sanic, and there were a couple of others you could do as well. But yeah, that was about it for me.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Let's jump into, we talked about Epic Games laying off like 1,000 people. That happened, we talked about that, happened last week, and we went over that. There was a writer from Valve, or at least a former writer from Valve. His name was, well, I don't know his last name. I do know his last name. I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but his first name's Chet. He was talking about those layoffs and was talking directly to Tim Sweeney, the guy who is the founder of Epic Games, asking why anyone at Epic should work hard when staff have no agency and the recent 1,000 job cuts didn't come because of shareholder pressure. This was on TikTok that he said this. It's not like they're a publicly traded company. It's not like there's some need to hit the stock market thing. This is Tim Sweeney. This is Tim. Can someone explain this to me? Why anybody who works at Epic should work hard? Because Epic just laid off 1,000 people, and it's going to shut down Fortnite Rocket Raising, Ballistic, and Festival Battle Stage, whatever that is, who knows? But it's not like they're a publicly traded company. It's not like there's some need to hit the stock market thing. 1,000 people he said 1,000 people is more than apparently the amount who work at Valve. And Valve makes... quite a bit of money.
Yes, they do.
But, you know, Tim Epic makes quite a bit of money as well, but has to fire 1,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And close studios. He continues, and so Tim has gone from making games to making one game, spending all his time doing that and trying to make as much money as possible. And I guess, well, hey, Tim, Gabe's better at that than you. Gabe Newell, the guy who runs Valve. I don't know what to tell you, man, because you stopped caring about making things. You make just one game. He said that unlike other companies like Epic and EA, which he also singled out, when he worked at Valve, he had agency and ownership over his work. He went on to say, I don't get why you remove that agency from people. Like, why would you care? Why would you think that your hard work is going to be rewarded? I worked my butt off at Valve, and I cared about the things I made, and I cared about the people I worked with so much. If I'm at work, then I'm going to work really hard. And I would I do that at Epic if they're going to treat me like that and just have layoffs like that, and just EA's the same way? Like, hey, great job. You made Battlefield 6. We dethroned Call of Duty. Here's the pink slip, which I think they did. And then they're going to say Western developers are the problem because they're lazy or something, when you just cut them off at the knees, man. He just went on a rant here.
Yeah. And that has happened before. We've seen it before with games that seemingly did very well, but as soon as they were finished, staff is cut.
Yeah, he said that the reason Valve still employs so many of the same developers that worked on Half-Life is not just because they were all rewarded handsomely, although it seems that they were. He says, to be clear, I could retire. I could retire today. I made more money than I'll ever make when he worked at Valve. Valve understood that. That's how you get this thing where people care, people worked hard, people stayed because they felt they were improving what they were building on. And they had agency over and owned. Like, even now, I'm excited when I see Valve announcement about the VR stuff and everything. That makes me happy. Would you be that way at Epic now? Everybody knew at Epic that was like that. That was like the Epic guy that had been there forever is gone. Maybe there's still some people there besides Tim, but the people that I liked and trusted, they're gone. How do you build on that? I mean, Tim, you're the one who decided to buy Bandcamp. I get why what you're trying to do, but come on, man. You raise V-Buck prices to make ends meet, and now you're going to lay off 1,000 people and wonder why the industry's in the place that it is. I sure as hell wouldn't work at a place that I didn't think respected me and wouldn't reward that. Good luck. I mean, maybe you've got the privilege to say, and I don't mean to defend it, but maybe you've got the privilege to say that, well, I wouldn't work there. Where are you going to work then? You know, if you can get the job there and you need the job, you take the job. I mean, he said, I could retire. You know, he said earlier, I could retire. I got the money. That's make more money than I'll ever make. Mm-hmm. Well, that's good, man. I'm great. I'm so glad you did. Some people don't get that opportunity. So they're going to work where they're going to work. Mm-hmm. Regardless of that. I'm not necessarily disagreeing with what he's saying here, or at least his plea to Tim, to be like, why are you firing 1,000 people, man? Mm-hmm. We don't have that many people, and we make money, and it's, you know, we don't have to let that many people go, but why do you have that many people if you don't need them, and if you don't need them, or if you do, or whatever, why are you, mismanagement of the money or something? I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, that was a little follow-up to that whole situation from last week. Yeah. But yeah, I don't have any issue with anybody that works at Epic. And I can't fault anybody for working for Epic. I mean, go right ahead. If the job's there, take it.
Yeah.
I mean, understand that you could be gone at any moment, but that could be
that could apply to any job, right?
Any yeah.
Doesn't apply to just the video gaming industry right now.
Yeah. On the opposite end of that, Konami increased its starting salary in Japan by nearly 30%, increasing the base pay for the employees there for the fifth year in a row. Hmm. Konami, though, they're all over the place with what they make, though. Yeah. Yes, they make video games, but they make a bunch of other things as well. And they're also tied into... Did I remember it was like pachinko machines or something like that?
I want to say some casinos they work on as well.
Yeah, that was my thought. So, which is fine. I'm not. It's nothing about that. But it was just, hey, there's a little bit of little inch of light coming through the dark tunnel here. Mm-hmm. Oh, and while we're on this, we'll talk about one of the programmers who worked at Epic, who got fired, had terminal brain cancer. And he was part of those mass layoffs. And he was going to lose his insurance, you know, to sort of help deal with that. His wife posted on Facebook about their situation and a plea to Epic for anybody who could help. Epic's post announcing the layoff said impacted staff would receive paid healthcare coverage for 6 months. But the nature of this guy's illness means medical coverage is not their only hurdle. Because of the layoff, we didn't just lose income. We lost his life insurance. And because his condition, life insurance, by the way, not health insurance, lost his life insurance. Mm-hmm. And because his condition is now considered a pre-existing condition, he can't get new coverage. As I face the reality of losing my husband, I am also facing the reality of what type of funeral burial I can afford, how I will keep a roof over our heads, how I will protect our son and the life we built together, what will happen to our dogs. I truly believe that if the people who made this decision understood the full human impact, they would not have intended this outcome. Mike is not just a number. He is a father, a husband, a person deeply loved. She went on to say that his condition was well known within the studio, had a frequent appointment. Some of these included specialized treatments to prevent memory loss so he could maintain a high performance at his job. That's horrible. Tim Sweeney spoke out on Twitter, replying to a thread where somebody had tagged him saying, "Are you happy now?" In his response, Sweeney said, "Epic is in contact with the family and will solve the insurance for them. There is high confidentiality around medical information, and it was not a factor in this layoff decision. Sorry to everyone for not recognizing this terribly painful situation and handling it in advance." So apparently they're going to do something about that. Which, again, if I'm going to tell you that they're firing everybody, at least let me tell you that, oh, they're going to help this guy's situation.
Mm-hmm.
Could just hire him back, I guess. I don't know. But, yeah, at least something's being done about it. So, what else do we want to... We got another 15 minutes here. We can go over this. We got our first... you know what? I still call it E3, even though it's not E3 anymore. Because E3 seems to sort of categorize just everything that happens at the beginning of the summer, video game wise. You know, it's sort of E3 season.
Mm.
But it's not technically E3 anymore because we just don't have that. We have Summer Games Fest and whatever. But showcases, you know, we still have the Xbox Game Showcase. That has been scheduled for Sunday, June 7th. Just like they normally do, it's every Sunday. Oh, there's a little fuzz sticking out of the egg. Sorry, was watching the she moved. And every time she moves, whoever's operating the camera, and they got people watching this thing constantly. But whoever's operating the camera zooms in on the eggs every time she gets up off of them, so we can see, you know, has there been any more breaches or anything like that? So, yeah, there's a bundle of fluff coming out of one of the eggs. He has not made his way out yet, but yeah, it's happening. So, let's see. So, anyway, back to this. So that's going to happen on June 7th. This showcase promises first gameplay looks and huge news on upcoming titles from the Xbox Game Studios and third-party partners, biggest franchises to soon-to-be indie darlings. That event, they always do this. They do the show, and then afterwards they have like a 30-minute deep dive into something. They did Starfield 1 year. I think they did Forza another year, something like that. I can't remember. But this one's going to be a deep dive into Gears of War E-Day, the new Gears game from Coalition Studios there. So you can probably expect to see Fable, new stuff from Fable, which I'm interested in. Minecraft Dungeons 2, which just got announced not too long ago. Halo Campaign Evolved, the remaster of the Halo first game thing. Okay. Not interested in that anymore, but that's fine. And it'll be on PlayStation. It'll get a release on a Sony product, which is pretty amazing. What else do we have? Call of Duty will probably be announced. Somebody says, as for an update on Elder Scrolls 6, maybe, but don't count on it. I don't think any of these... I remember back when this was E3 season and you had the live presentations and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, one of them, Sony, Microsoft, would have Grand Theft Auto when there was a Grand Theft Auto game. I don't think they do that anymore, though. I don't think Rockstar does that. I think Rockstar releases their own stuff now.
Yeah.
You know, they don't...
No fanfare, no... Well, they don't even do a online presentation like a...
No. They just release a trailer, you know?
Okay.
That's it. They just release stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I remember with Red Dead Redemption, they released like a... I felt like it was 30 minutes, probably more like 15. A little 15-minute gameplay overview. I've talked about this before. This is going back to the first Red Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sure it was first Red Dead. And, yeah, there were these series of videos that they released going over, like, here's how multiplayer works, if it had multiplayer, I can't remember. But here's how things are going to work in the game. Here's how this function, here's how the Deadeye system works. Here's all the different things you can do and whatever. It was almost tutorial-like.
Just showing off the features of the game.
It was really good. And you didn't need like a presentation of that. They just released it on YouTube for you to watch. That was it, mm-hmm. You know? And I got to figure they'll do the same thing here. Whenever they have new information, they're just going to release it, you know, in a nice produced package of some sort,
mm-hmm.
for you to consume. But it won't get the treatment of being at like the Xbox thing. I don't know. Maybe they pay the money for it. Perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they need the money, but they could do it. So, anyway, that's happening June 7th at noon Central, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, and noon Central Time. So, yeah. They'll show gameplay from Gears of War E-Day. I'm trying to look over anything else that was mentioned. Nah, that's about it. So, yeah. We don't have any word on anything else. We don't have any word on, like, Summer Games Fest, when that's going to take place. We don't have a word that Sony's done anything or going to do anything, like a State of Play.
State of Play, yeah.
Nintendo hasn't mentioned anything, obviously. I mean, it's early yet. So, we'll see. Ubisoft obviously hasn't mentioned anything either.
Yeah, they got their own issues to deal with right now.
That they do. You're exactly right. Speaking of issues, this Mind's Eye thing.
Mm-hmm.
The game is called Mind's Eye, and Build a Rocket Boy is the name of the developer and the company that made the studio that made the game. And I remember reading a report last week or the week before, I can't remember what it was, where sales were really bad, and they had blamed Sabotage as the reasoning.
Yep.
And I was like, what do you mean Sabotage is the reasoning that your game didn't sell well? How? Did somebody go into every store and, like, put it behind copies of something else that nobody was going to see? Like, how did you get sabotaged of people not buying your game?
Yeah, we just need a concrete definition of what you mean by sabotage.
Well, okay, so... The guy's name is Mark Gerhard. Said the studio is preparing to add a new mission to its game, Mind's Eye, which this mission will include evidence that supports his repeated claim that the game was sabotaged. He claims the new mission will be called Blacklist and will feature a female playable character. Quoting him, he says, "We are using that to share some of the evidence of the sabotage with the community." He did not provide further information as to what this would entail. However, he previously told another outlet that the studio was also planning to use the names of people who had committed the alleged sabotage in the new mission. And here's this quoting him again. Let's have some fun with it, he said at the time. Let's tell the community the story before it even plays out in court. So, you know, I think this is not us being the victim. We've taken a couple of punches. We kept turning the other cheek while we got our house in order. And now it's time to start judoing this right back at them. And, you know, so let's have some fun with it. At the end of the day, we're storytellers. We're game makers. The sabotage he's referring to claims over the last year that there was a concerted effort to trash the game in the studio by both internal and external saboteurs. He claims that the saboteurs paid off influencers and paid for spam bots to denigrate the game on social platforms. He's yet to provide evidence to back up these claims. So, yeah. But apparently we'll see that evidence in this new mission. I say we will. I don't own the game. Somebody will. Somebody out there will play that and play that mission and try and kind of just dissect what we're seeing there.
Yeah, someone's going to stream that.
I mean, somebody will. Yeah. They have to. They have to kind of give us an update on, like, here's what happened or here's what we found in this mission. I guess. I don't know. Yeah. He's also worried about the influencers apparently being paid to give bad press. So if somebody comes back and says, I played that mission, it really sucks. Is that falling into the excuse of giving bad press to your game?
Yeah. Was it an honest review or whatever?
I don't know.
Yeah. I was just looking up a quick thing. I looked up Mind's Eye Issues, and it said it was Mind's Eye suffered a disastrous bug-ridden launch characterized by severe performance issues, low FPS, crashes, poor AI, and broken game mechanics, leading to overwhelmingly negative reviews. Player reported frequent crashes, game-breaking glitches, poor optimization, often describing it as an unfinished, early access-style 30 frames per second experience.
Yeah, no, I've heard bad things.
Yeah,
haven't played it, but I've just heard bad things. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they're saying there was a reason for all that mess. It was internal and external influences.
Yeah. Going into chat. Let's see. Lethal Migrant says they make a ton of slot machines. Konami makes a ton of slot machines. Brian RTR says Steam spring sales even kind of lame this year. AC Ray says I got a lot of games during that sale, mostly because I missed the winter sale. He says purchase picks are in last week's Discord chat. The chat that I'm seeing here is still talking about that, whatever that stuff, the DLSS. Oh, no, there it is. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, wait, that's... Wait a second. Is that how he's, yeah, there he is, the spring sale purchases. What did he pick up? Let's see if we can... He got Control Ultimate Edition, Always Legacy... Blast Brigade versus the Evil Legion of Dr. Creed, I guess. Moonlight Pulse, Star Wars Jedi Survivor, Void Prison, King's Grave, Star Wars Outlaws, The Saboteur. I like Saboteur. Pinball Effects. Oh, World Cup Soccer. Yeah, you got to get that because they're delisting it. So I'm glad you picked it up. Oh, and then you refunded Star Wars Outlaws and picked up Pinball Effects Pacific Rim. You picked up the Outcast Bundle. Destroy All Humans Franchise Pack. That's a fun game there. And then Princess Bride Pinball for Pinball Effects. So there you go. Good pickups. I have the Princess Bride Pinball. I got to get World Cup because they're delisting it. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's coming up this month, I think. Which is kind of a shame since we're actually getting the World Cup this year.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. What do we got coming up in our news here? We got maybe a new Game Pass or a new Game Pass tier, I suppose. We may hit those April Fool's things. Some PlayStation Plus monthly games. We'll go over those. 12 free games for April on Amazon Prime, by the way. Currently, House Flipper is free on Steam. For the next few days. So, check that out. Free games are always good. But yeah, all of that is coming up in the next hour. So, and we'll go over those. It's not a lot, though. Oh, and we got an announcement for State of Decay 3, which I thought we already heard about, but I guess maybe I thought we heard about it, and then it just went silent for a really long time. And then they just, but maybe we never knew. I don't know. My memory ain't what it used to be. And I've never played a State of Decay game. Looked at it, seen it. I know James played it. Kind of craft building, kind of like go out and do this during the day, protect yourself at night. Mm-hmm. Or it might have been go out during the day and protect yourself as well. I can't remember. Gather supplies, come back, build up your fortifications, and survive the evening. So, yeah. All right, we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after the top of the hour here. We're going into music from Mafia, the Old Country. We're still doing new music, by the way. And I say we're doing new music, but I think we're up to, we may be in August now with these. So, yeah. Mafia, the Old Country. This is called The Mountain. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back into In-Game Chat. Timed that perfect, didn't I? Didn't realize that was coming. This is music from Ninja Gaiden Ragebound. Title's called Father's Message. Did you play Ragebound? Did you ever get a chance to?
I got Art of Vengeance, Shinobi.
Oh, that's Shinobi. Okay.
I didn't get the Ninja Gaiden.
I know we had our two ninja games coming out around the same time. And what they were offering there. So, yeah. Okay, so I wasn't wrong. Lethal Migraine says, State of Decay 3 was announced like 6 years ago. Okay, good. There was something in my head that was like, wasn't that already announced as coming out at some point? He says it was the E3 with Everwild, Fable, Avowed, and Stalker 2. Everwild, I think, never got released. Avowed finally did. Fable, we're getting more information about it this year and still haven't had a release on it. And Stalker 2, same thing. Well, I say that same thing. I don't know if it was DLC or something that was announced, but I know we got some gameplay of something for the Stalker franchise recently during, I want to say it was the Developer Direct from Xbox or whatever it was. Just recently, just a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know. I can't. My brain sucks. I can't remember. But yeah, thank you, Lethal, for helping me out with that. All right, back to our news here. Data miners think they have found an unannounced Game Pass tier showing only older first-party games. Now, this is data mining, so it doesn't necessarily mean anything. It doesn't mean that this is going to happen or that it could be something that was thought about, or we don't know. So I'm not really big on the whole data mining thing, but could be legit. As spotted by a Game Pass data miner and reported by Windows Central, they believe they found references to a tier codenamed Tryon while rummaging around in Microsoft's public-facing backend, and all signs point to it being a new Game Pass tier that, unlike the existing Essential, Premium, and Ultimate tiers, only include games from Xbox Studios. The games include new Doom Eternal, Dishonored 2, Fable Anniversary, Gears 5, State of Decay 2, Elder Scrolls Online. Yeah, they're going through the list here. As commenters pointed out almost immediately, this is a list of pretty old games and ignores newer Xbox first-party titles like Starfield, South of Midnight, the Indiana Jones game, Sea of Thieves. Is also not on there, and that's from 2018. But still, we don't know. Without further context or all the details, it's difficult to gauge how plausible a tier like this could be. I don't know what you would be offering. Like, play the old hits for, what, $5 a month?
Hmm.
I mean, what would you charge for that? I don't know.
It's like paying for your backlog.
Well, kind of, but at the same time, sorry, I got something up with my eye. At the same time, why would you think there would be an audience for these older first-party titles? Which I'm sure there are, but if they're the older titles, they could probably pick them up on the cheap, I guess, or I don't know.
Or maybe some, like you said, nostalgia. Or games you can't readily pick up anymore? Are they hard to come by? If that were the case, what would they be in there?
That's a possibility, too.
Let's see. New players, but goodness, new players? Who hasn't played those titles at this point?
Yeah.
I'm not seeing much of a market outside of nostalgia and heart and difficulty to come by. Outside of that, I'm not seeing it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's there for them. I really don't. Oh, so what else? Did that one? What is this? This may be the same thing. I'm not sure. This says Game Pass is adding a new bonus soon. Oh, okay. Microsoft is adding a new Xbox Game Pass perk in the form of special bonuses for a number of free-to-play titles. Game Pass subscribers for any tier of the membership program will be able to get in-game perks for titles like World of Warships, World of Tanks, little perks like that for the World of titles. I never played those. I never played World of Tanks. I never played World of Warships. Never did any of those. But hey, you get some perks. There you go. Sorry, I'm covering everything. Like Nintendo. Nintendo games are about to get more expensive, or less, depending on whether or not you want a physical copy and how you read their recent decision to charge different prices for physical and digital games here in the United States. It was announced last week Nintendo will now charge more for physical editions of games, beginning with Yoshi and the Mysterious Book. Yoshi's game will cost $70 in the U.S. on store shelves, but will only be $60 if you download the digital edition. This news comes as Nintendo's competitors are raising prices, on various other items, less than a year after Nintendo introduced the first $80 game, and amid increasing economic uncertainty and price hikes on basically everything. In that context, it's no surprise that fans immediately reacted in frustration to what was perceived by many to be a price increase in disguise, and yet another unnecessary penalty for the many Nintendo fans who prefer boxed editions of their games. Meanwhile, others have defended Nintendo, saying this is actually a discount on digital games and in line with Nintendo's pricing strategy is basically every other country going back years. What's really going on, we don't know. But as usual, they spoke to some analysts who talked about this. Three analysts I spoke to were in agreement on the why of things. Nintendo is just being strategic in a very weird economic environment. That's all there is to it. As they pointed out, Nintendo released the Switch 2 into a volatile economic situation. There was the tariffs going on, and still ongoing is a massive spike in component prices, making it significantly more expensive to make a console at all. Meanwhile, everything else is getting crazy expensive amid ongoing war and general global political uncertainty. Fuel prices going up, making it more expensive to ship anything anywhere. Consumers are closing their wallets, particularly on unnecessary expenditure like video games. I mean, I agree with you, even though I just bought an $8 game. It was an $8 game.
Regular price what?
Right?
Yeah, but regular price is what, 30, 40?
For that game?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, there's situations like that where you see stuff on sale. Like, I saw some things in the spring sale for the PlayStation Store. Normal $30, now it's like 8 or 11, you know? So, waiting for a sale before buying anything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, PlayStation has their spring sale going on
right now.
Yeah,
their spring sale's going on right now. So, yeah. Closing the wallet to unnecessary things unless it's like a heck of a discount.
Yeah, it's possible.
So that's something that's going on as well. Yeah, you see what they're doing, but you know me, I've always been a fan of having a copy for myself, but you also told me that it's not the actual game on those discs. On a lot of them, it's just like a code.
Mostly it's just like there that proves you bought it, and then it'll download it from the store, which is kind of annoying. With all this context, Nintendo is being proactive, analysts say. Its hardware and physical software are becoming more expensive to make and harder to sell. So this, along with other measures, such as cutting Switch 2 production numbers, is one way Nintendo can hold out a little longer on raising prices of its other products. It's offloading the rising costs of making and shipping Switch 2s to consumers who insist on buying physical games. Nintendo is already running a bill of materials around $370 on a $450 console. And if procurement contracts roll off at market rates, they either eat the margin or they raise the price again, right into GTA 6 November launch window on competing platforms. It's the kind of structural bind that doesn't show up in the discourse about whether digital games are cheaper. Another analyst speculated that Nintendo has likely been planning to make this change for a while now, especially given that the company already prices digital games more cheaply in other regions. He believes Nintendo may have been considering rolling this out during the Donkey Kong Bonanza launch, but priorities shifted. Another analyst similarly wondered if this has been a plan for a while, saying that now is about as good a time as any, and that Yoshi and the Mysterious Book allows Nintendo some wiggle room for fans to decide for themselves whether it's a price increase on physical or a price decrease on digital. Based on initial feedback to some posts I've made on the topic, he continued, I'd say that the fan base is passionately mixed. Yeah, he's referring to Nintendo fan community in the wake of the decision. Between some who are claiming this is effectively Nintendo instituting a price increase on those purchasing physical, while others say that they are discounting the digital games as a treat for those willing to save Nintendo the manufacturing cost. Nintendo's own statement on the matter is that the cost of physical games is not going up, but many people remain unconvinced. So I guess what, they're just keeping that and they're just dropping the price of the digital by $10. So instead of saying we're increasing the price on physical, we're just dropping the price on digital. Mm. I guess.
So this is just getting folks to get it digitally.
Yeah, there's a lot more about this on what they're doing and that sort of thing, and I don't know. Everyone agrees that this change will do what Nintendo wants it to do and drive consumers increasingly towards digital Nintendo games. For the casual consumer, a $10 delta is a massive psychological barrier for most demographics. For example, if a parent is looking at the eShop versus a shelf at Target and the digital version is $10 cheaper and instant, the physical copy becomes a much harder sell. Boxed copies will increasingly be viewed more as a premium collector's edition rather than the default way to play.
And it's still not like you get the game.
Yeah, it says this will have ripple effects across the broader physical games market. According to a tracking service, Nintendo is the biggest publisher when it comes to physical game sales in the U.S. market. It's also the last physical forward publisher and has the deepest and closest ties to physical retail. This will be a significant blow to the physical video game market in the United States, with impact far beyond Nintendo published titles themselves. Interesting to think about. It's been Black Friday or whatever is when I bought Bonanza Switch 2. Yeah. What I'm saying is I don't buy Nintendo games a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I haven't even opened up my Switch 2. But I don't buy a lot of Nintendo games. Mm-hmm. Between the two consoles that I own, I say the two, three, whatever. Four if you want to throw PC in there. But if you just count the Sony, if you count the PlayStation, the Xbox, the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I had some pretty good. Switch had the Switch One. I had a considerable library with that. Not amazing, but more than I kind of expected. When I go back over my head over like the image of like all my games and their little pockets in the carrying case and stuff like that, I'm like, that's more than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But yeah, it totally is. Well, I don't know. PlayStation 5, I don't think I got a lot of physical games for that either.
Well, the bulk of my games on PS, PlayStation in general, came from the free stuff with PlayStation Plus. Of course, you're going to get two every month, so of course that's going to pick up your digital sales. But something that I actually wanted and I pursued for, I was going to get the physical version of it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So,
no, you're exactly right in that regard, is that... the free game type stuff kind of pads that library out. But if I look at the physical ownership of the games I have, it's not many at all.
Yeah.
In fact, Spider-Man, I think, is a digital download. It came with a steel. Well, when I bought Spider-Man 2, when I bought Spider-Man 2, it had the Venom statue and it had Steelbook, but I think it had no disc. I think it was a completely digital purchase. It came with a thing where you get the code that you download the game to.
Yeah, the Astrobot was a code.
Is that a download code?
It's a download code in that one.
Yep.
I think the ones I bought was Demon's Souls, Dead Space definitely came. I bought physically. Stellar Blade. A couple sports titles here and there. Bought physically. And then, of course, my luck, a week later, it came out on PS Plus as a free title. 2K5 PGA Tour. I think that came out free, but I bought it buy two, get one free sale at GameStop earlier for some physical copies of PS5 titles. I think I got something else as well, but I can't think of it off the top of my head right now. But, yeah, for the most part, PlayStation, it's been... free stuff from PS Plus or something I wanted, but it's been kind of balancing out. But if I have one for that, I'd have more physical than digital.
Yeah. The majority of my library now is digital because, well, the thing of it is that, what was I looking at? There was Cash App, the app.
Yeah.
Cash App, whatever. Anyway, mm-hmm. every now and again, they run some specials and deals. They're like, hey, if you pay through Cash App at this store, you'll get 50% off or whatever the deal may be. Mm-hmm. And they had one at the PlayStation store. It's completely gone now. I waited one day, and it's done. So what I think is that, because Wario mentioned it, is enough people jumped on it, and they're like, hey, we need to pull this off. Too many people are taking advantage of it. I mean, I'll check and make sure, but I think the deal's dead. Anyway, I was looking at, like, okay, you know, I could get a $60 game for $30, you know, something like that. It's 50% off. So let's see what do I want, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I'm going through the list of games. I'm looking at, like, hey, what's upcoming I can put a pre-order on? What's, you know, what do I want to pick that's coming out soon? Or everything I look at is just like, nah, I want that on PC. No, I want that on PC. Mm-hmm. You know, it became a situation like the Lego Batman thing that's coming up in May. No, I want that on PC. Mm-hmm. You know, it'll probably have some good Steam Deck integration. Maybe. I mean, it's a Lego game. It's not really pushing your graphics that hard.
Right.
But it's, you know, that sort of was like, nah, I'll pick that up on PC. Even getting it for half price on a console, no, I want it on PC.
Nope, still want it on PC, yeah.
And so everything that I kind of came across, I was just like, no, I want that on PC. Is that, you know? So then it got me to say, well, let me just look at the exclusives for PlayStation. And even looking at the exclusives, I thought, well, won't that get a PC release?
Eventually.
Well, you say that, but I forgot that Sony, I remember some rumor or some kind of news article we had mm-hmm. where it looked like Sony was backing away from doing PC releases.
Hmm. In the long run, I'd see that hurting sales.
You would think.
I mean, I would think, because eventually, I mean, like you said, if you want it on PC, give it time.
Yeah.
And you got a backlog.
Well, that's the other thing. That's the other thing. If they release these on PC, then people will not buy their consoles. They will just wait and pick them up on PC mm-hmm. because they have raised the price on their consoles.
Yeah.
You gotta. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with GTA releases, because I know a bunch of people probably want to play that game, and either they don't have the console yet, or they're going to have to buy the console. Xbox has not so far. Well, yeah, they have. They've raised their prices, but not recently, like Sony has. I imagine it's coming.
Yeah, it's one of those lesser two evil things. Or you just like, well, if you're in my case, you're not. I'm definitely not going to be there day one. I'm not going to be there day one for GTA 6. I'm just going to buy my time and wait. It's not that big for me, but I know a lot of people are going to want to play this game day one anyway, so they'll be fine on that part. There's no doubt in anyone's mind that the game's going to sell, regardless. But may not have as much pop as it could have with this price increase.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to work for them or what they're going to do, but. For me, I like the fact that the digital is cheaper for the most part. I do kind of lean towards, I know you're a big physical guy.
Yeah.
But I do kind of lean towards the digital purchases. Mm-hmm. I like the fact that I don't have to change a disc out. I like the fact that it's just kind of sitting there when I want it.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy that level of laziness that I don't have to get up and change a disc.
I know it's not that way anymore, but the thing about, for me, with physical, it's just the not having a backup, not having the access to it, the potential that eventually I'm not going to have access to the games I play
mm-hmm.
and like. I'm not going to have access to it anymore. I can't just pull the disc down or pull the cartridge. Yeah, I still got cartridges for the Genesis that still work, lo and behold. So that works, you know, the discs for the Dreamcast, all that stuff. You don't need a internet connection to verify anything. It just games on the disc, put it in there, play it, have fun. You know, that type of thing. I'm losing that now.
Yeah.
With physical. Oh. Yeah, I was looking up the PlayStation 5's age, 5 years old, and the price go up.
There was a great little late. Chart.
Yeah.
Where somebody compared the previous PlayStation consoles.
Yeah.
Going all the way back to the PSX.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, like, here's their starting price, here's the price they were at this many years into their life.
Yeah.
And every single one from PlayStation 1 to PlayStation 4 were lower at this point, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
Even when you took into the account of like the slim models that they also release in between,
yep.
the different SKUs, mm-hmm. at this point in their life, they were cheaper than what they were when they released until you got to the PlayStation 5.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now you're looking at, nope, this one went up.
Yeah. 5 years in. Yep.
5 years in, and it went up.
And it went up.
That's so wrong feeling, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, we can understand why, but it's not like we don't care. It still went up.
Yeah.
But at no. It would feel wrong to buy a brand new PS5 at this point. I mean, just... All you can say is you should have got it earlier.
You say that, but you could also say you should get it now because they're going to go up again. You know? I don't know when. Probably around the time GTA 6 releases, if this is the current state of things.
Another increase on the consoles before that
thing
comes out?
Yep. I will tell you now. I don't have any evidence that that's going to happen. I have no like insider knowledge. I have no like rumor hearing or anything like that. I just have to figure that prices on your consoles are going to go up before GTA 6 rolls out. They know people want to play that game. They know people want to buy the console to play that game on. And even if they only get a few people out of it who actually do spend the money to do it, it's still profit for them.
Mm-hmm.
They can lower the price afterwards. They don't care that people aren't on board. But the other part of it is that Microsoft can raise the price of their console to just under the price of a PlayStation 5 and be the cheaper option at the time of the game's release.
Yeah, undercut, yeah.
Because I think it'll be very hard for Sony to come back later and say, hey, now we're dropping the price back down. This is assuming things with the world continue going with the way that they're going. This is assuming that the AI is still driving up prices to components for building these things. This is assuming that we're still having our gas problems, which means getting the shipping of these parts to different places. Not only getting the shipping of the parts to put the things together, but also then once they're together, getting the shipping of the consoles out to where they got to go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just shipping. That's going from, you know, Japan to here. Once it gets here, it's got to be put on trucks, which also use gas, which costs a lot. So, I mean, there's a bunch of different ways that this whole thing is snowballing into something massive as far as what you have to pay for your machine now. And do I think Sony will increase their price? If things keep going the way that they're going, I think that they will raise prices again. I think Microsoft will also raise their price too. I don't know which one is going to go which way. I don't know that Microsoft will eventually be the more expensive or if they're just going to match and be like, yep, this is how much it is for an Xbox Series X, same price as a PlayStation 5, you know, or if they try to go a little bit undercut them and, you know, to sort of be cheaper on the shelf. I don't know, but a price will go up.
Certainly more attractive that way.
Yeah.
Isn't that what PlayStation did years back? They announced their price and they undercut Microsoft.
For the PlayStation 4.
Yeah, dude walked out on stage, set a price, and walked off. And then they can undercut Microsoft's.
Yeah. They absolutely did. Because Microsoft had said, here's what ours is going to be. And then Sony had not announced. And that was one of those interesting things where we're like, uh-oh, Sony can come in here and They can do something really amazing here and be cheaper, mm-hmm. or they can just say, "Yeah, yeah, we're going to do the same thing."
Yeah,
and they came under what, $100 cheaper?
I think it was $100 cheaper.
Yeah, $100 cheaper for that thing. So, but that was the PlayStation 4, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got to take a break. When we come back, we'll wrap up with what other news we got in there to talk about. This next track comes from a game called Time Flies. You play as a fly. It isn't very detailed. In fact, it is black and white in the sense of white space with black lines forming the objects. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's very, very simple type game. I don't even know. I think it's one of those, like, a series of mini games. You know, as a fly, you have to do this within this amount of time or something like that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's called Time Flies. This is a track called Super Buzz. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. He says. Welcome back into In-Game Chat. Music, Gradius Origins. Ooh. Title screen.
Gradius was side-scrolling, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Right? I think it was. Or am I thinking of R-Type?
No, R-Type was side-scrolling.
We know R-Type was side-scrolling.
Yeah.
But Gradius could have also been side-scrolling. Is it Gradius or Gradius?
I call it Gradius.
Gradius. But I think Gradius was side-scrolling.
Yeah, let's see.
I know you're checking it right now.
Yeah, horizontal scroll. Yeah, side-scroller.
Okay. Ash, what I figured.
Mm-hmm.
All right, fine. Let's look at some of the April Fool's Day jokes. What do we have? Oh... No, that's not anything. It was Bubsy, something with the Bubsy, the Bobcat thing. It was just, yeah, no. Sega sent out a tweet saying, "We're excited to announce that we're making our Sega logo 3% more blue. We hope you enjoy this upgrade. Please take a moment to familiarize yourself with the new look." Looks the same. Sanic merch, that's right. There was a Sanic collection, a 3-shirt drop that featured Sanic and Shidu, Sanic Adventure, and Sanic and Knackle. Tees, they were $32 each.
Oh. Sanic and Shidu. Yeah.
Oh, Shidu.
Yeah.
Shidu.
Well, the parody of
supposed
Shadow.
To be Shadow. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Totally missed that reference.
I'm gonna. You know what?
What?
While you're talking, I'm gonna check eBay and see how much people threw that up there for.
Well, I don't. Let's see. Is it still available? No, it's gone. They did say it would only be available for that day only.
Yeah.
And now it is completely gone. That'd be interesting to see. What else do we have? Crytek adds Beatles with hats to Hunt Showdown 1896. In fact, there's a code you could put in that would do that. Interesting. Okay. Power Wash Simulator introduced their next chapter. Ever wanted to learn more about the muck in Muckingham? Does dust want to settle down? Is grime clingy? Can you ever get over stain? Well, now you'll get the answers. It's called Date the Dirt. Then there was a screenshot of dialogue that didn't quite make the final cut. It was, maybe you'll get to see some of Grimes and Duckweed's dialogue, if you ask nicely. It was a Power Wash Simulator dating sim.
I'm seeing price ranges from 20 to 50.
Yeah.
Right now. So, yeah, not bad.
That's, yeah, okay. Yeah. I figured it might be more than that.
Mm-hmm. Maybe later, but not right now. It's okay.
I'm looking through the rest of these. I'm just like, I don't know.
You said a power wash date sim?
Power wash simulator dating sim, yeah. Oh, they redesigned Rayman and gave him limbs.
Mm.
He looks really... For those who don't know, Rayman is just basically a body, and then the rest of him, a body is in like a center, a torso.
Yeah, you got a torso and a head, and you got these...
And then you just got
floating gloves and shoes. And floating shoes.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
I know it's hard to, it's weird to describe, but it actually works. So when they actually do give him a neck and legs and arms, it looks really weird.
Mm-hmm. Almost Vector Man-ish.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Then there was Call of Duty Black Ops 7 released the smallest map ever. It is a very small map. It's a very small room. A top-down image of a mysterious map that's made its way into Black Ops 7. It's called GRWM, Get Ready With Me. This teeny tiny map is already available in-game, and its size makes the shipment map look giant by comparison. I don't play those, so I don't know how big the shipment map is.
That's a bold statement.
Oh, shipment match. I remember that one. You're shipment, in the shipyard, right?
You're on a deck of a ship.
Oh.
With cargo crates and everything. I think I've seen videos of this from a streamer on there.
I remember one that whenever we spawned in, you just chucked grenades. Because it was so small, you were bound to hit somebody.
Well, that could have been the overpass. Because you got that narrow, just a narrow path that you could probably hit anything on there. But shipment, you're on the deck of a ship.
Oh.
Yeah, and it's like with cargo crates and all types of stuff in the way. I mean, there's nowhere to hide, basically, on that.
Apparently, there was a lot of April Fool's related gaming things. I didn't realize there was as many. I guess I'm doing a good job at avoiding it and falling down that hole. I'll let these news sites like compile them. Because I guess I avoid them easy enough. So, yeah. Hey, speaking of, I guess it's called Raccoin. Fans of Balatro, take note. There's a new riff on the number go up genre. And it's already doing some impressive numbers on Steam. Raccoin, a coin-pushing roguelike builder where you combine special coins and powerful items to trigger massive payoffs, launched on March 31st. The very next day, on April 1st, the team at developer Doracoon shared on their Blue Sky account that Raccoin has sold more than 100,000 copies on Steam in just 24 hours. Thank you for your kindness, support, and love for this little coin machine. We hope you have so much fun playing. Raccoin feels like cultivating mastery rather than exercise and frustration. It's the epitome of the "it's so over" to "we're so back" roller coaster. There have been a few occasions where the game has asked a mortifyingly bankrupt me if I wanted to abandon a run, but I stubbornly held on only for a few more coins to trickle in and trigger a prize wheel spin that brought me back from the brink to win the round. That has happened for me. I will sit there and let that thing push, and eventually it edges, it just keeps pushing a little bit to the edge, to the edge, to the edge, and then the coin will fall over, and it's enough that I needed to get a spin that did something amazing, that helped me get through the round. It has that aspect of being saved in the whole thing. It's just really good. 100,000 copies sold in just one day is a huge accomplishment for a small team during a difficult period for the industry. With nearly 20,000 new games released in 2025 alone, discoverability remains a massive challenge for indie development. At GDC back in February, the Valve sparked backlash after company reps claimed that nearly 6,000 games made $100,000 or more on the platform last year, which many observers saw as a tone-deaf characterization of the of the existential threats that are currently facing the industry. So, yeah. But good on them. I was a part of that. I made that happen. I helped them. I helped. Here's our monthly games for PlayStation Plus for April. We're getting Lords of the Fallen, Sword Art Online, Fractured Daydream, whatever that is.
Anime title.
What?
Anime title.
It's anime, but I mean, is it... It says Sword Art Online, so is it like an MMO? Is it a... It says it's online. Or is that just...
No, the story's based
Are you familiar with the game?
I'm familiar with the series, Sword Art Online. Yeah, it's...
Oh, wait, that's just the title of it?
Sword Art Online?
Yeah, that's the title of the anime series?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. I thought it was like Sword Art Online. Mm-hmm. In other words, now it's online for you to play with other people.
No.
Like Final Fantasy Online.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's just in the title of the series.
The series is called Sword Art Online.
Yeah. Okay. So I have no idea if it's an online MMO or not. It's just called that. Okay. We're also getting the Tomb Raider 1 through 3 remastered for PlayStation Plus. Hmm. Yeah, it's not a great year, It's not a great month, I guess.
I mean, it might be because I don't own any of those titles.
So. I don't own them either. I'm not saying that, but that doesn't necessarily make it great just because you don't own them. You know?
Well, you can own them now for free.
I mean, I can. Right. I know.
You might get some enjoyment out of them.
Maybe. I'll try, you know, we'll see. I'm not... Lords of the Fallen's not something that I was ever interested in. Mm-hmm. Tomb Raider is, but, you know, I played Tomb Raider so much, especially 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely 1 I've played plenty of times, and I'm good on it. But 2 and 3, yeah, maybe. We'll see. Mm-hmm. 12 free games that we're getting in the month of April for Amazon Prime. That's a lot. XCOM, Enemy Unknown Complete Pack. Total War, Pharaoh Dynasties. We're getting Arat's Quest, The Way Back Home, and King of Retail. We're also getting Snake Corps, Monster Harvest, Detective Agency, Neo Cab, The Pale Beyond, something called Super Muscle Cat, Fantasy General, and Pinball Spire. Pinball Spire, I wonder what that is. That we're not getting until April 30th. But I am very, very interested in what Pinball Spire is. I think it's an older game, though. I think we're going to hit every single news article that I had set aside. Did you look up Pinball Spire?
Yeah, I'm looking at it. Pinballvania Adventure.
Okay.
When a mysterious spire appears from thin air, it's up to an intrepid pinball to bump, spin, shoot, and flip its way to the top and solve the tower's mysteries. Overall, very positive. Came out October of 2024 by Apparition Games.
Independent game publisher Indie.io is launching a subscription service called Indie Pass. It'll offer access to a revolving catalog of indie games for $7 a month. It's set to go live on April 13th. It will launch with around 70 titles, many of which are from the company's existing stable of games, such as Echoes of the Plum Grove and the Dark Deity series. But the firm is working to sign up games from other developers who will earn a revenue share based on player engagement. The likely issue with this, I love the idea, but the likely issue with this is that it is not related to some sort of, I guess, storefront? Maybe it is. I don't know. I've never used Indie. That's game published, Indie.io. Let's see. But where do you get involved? Okay, maybe it does have a storefront. I'm seeing some screenshots here. And so maybe it does. Maybe it does have a storefront that you can use. That might be interesting. Usually, the problem that I have there's a couple of things that a couple of online I say online stores, but they are online stores, and they run these charity things where you get like a ton of things for doing a donation. It's not Humble Bundle; it's something bigger. The problem is that none of it is related to Steam. When you download it, you're downloading it directly to your hard drive. You're installing it. And you have to launch the executable yourself. You're not looking at a storefront of, you know, game selections or anything like that to launch it from. It is something that we once always did.
Yeah, I was about to say this is the classic video game. You put it straight to the hard drive and go from there.
This is the equivalent of remembering phone numbers and now not having to. It's the equivalent of... I have to go through the install process and then put the executable somewhere and have this all, you know, in one place or whatever the case may be.
Stop making folders.
I'm not saying it's a hassle to do. Mm-hmm. It never was. But I'm so used to the convenience of the way Steam does it, which is exactly the same way that it does it now. It's a little bit more streamlined through Steam. They kind of set up everything for you.
Yeah.
But it's really no different. You know, I could launch my Steam games the same way that I could launch any of these. I just have to go to the directory folder and find the executable and then fire it off.
Yeah.
Not a problem to do, but there's a lot of that convenience. Because I remember Humble Bundle had the same problem for a while. Early on in the Humble Bundle days, not every game was available on Steam. You know, it was like, no, this is a regular download. You have to install it to your machine, that sort of thing. Oh, this one will, you know, every now and again, you'd see a grouping of games where it's like, ooh, a lot of these are for Steam. Some of them aren't, but there's enough here that it's worth getting because I can activate them through Steam.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people had issue with that. A lot of people still have issue with Epic Games and that sort of thing. If I can't get it through Steam, I don't want it type of stuff. I don't necessarily care if the price is cheap, right? For me.
Mm.
You know, if I can pick it up on Epic or GOG or just direct download for cheaper than anywhere else, that's where I'll go. I still get to play the game, don't I?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my reasoning.
It just takes a little effort.
Yeah, it does. Not much. It's not much of what you're already doing.
Your muscle memory, because you've done this before.
Plenty of times.
It's just been a while.
Yeah, and then we said House Flipper, we said is free to keep. And then we got the State of Decay 3. 6 years after it was announced and 2 years after it last came up for air, we have a new proof of life for State of Decay 3, the zombie survival shooter in development at Undead Labs. At this time, it's not just a promise that's still happening, but a call to the community to sign up for alpha playtests happening next month, the month of May. It's going to feature four-player co-op, some new base building and resource strategies, and a whole lot of combat, said the creator Brant Fitzgerald in the announcement video. If scavenging supplies in the middle of a zombie outbreak sounds fun to you, then grab your ruck, pack some mags, and head over to our website to find more information and register for a chance to be included in the alpha coming up in May. It was announced with a short cinematic in July of 2020, and that was it until we got some new information, well, another cinematic, actually, in 2024 to remind us. But then it was two more years before we get anything else. About it. So, yeah. They finally moved along with that. I never played the first two. But the game... This is the third in the series, so they're obviously doing something right. You don't keep making these games if they're not selling.
Mm-hmm.
Every now and again, you do a reboot of something, or you try again with a reimagining or maybe something with the sequel that you didn't try first, and you're trying to, you know, like, here's our last shot at this. But that doesn't feel that way with this. It is a little odd that they announced in 2020 and here we are 6 years later and finally getting it. But listen, 2020 was a weird year, especially for making games. So the fact that they finally made it to the end there, that's great. I'm just not a State of Decay guy. Maybe I will. Maybe I'll look into this. Maybe it'll become a thing. I don't know. But yeah. So I don't know. I guess that's about it. I think we got some rain coming in, by the way. It's not raining right now.
Yeah, we got them thunderstorm warnings, you know.
But I'm hearing wind.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear the wind?
I heard something.
You heard the wind?
Yeah.
I'm hearing wind. I'm hearing some strong wind. At least strong coming out from out there. By the way, our windows in here are, I can't show you the camera, but they're blacked out. So we can't see outside from this studio. But we sure can hear everything going on out there. So, yeah. Anyway, that's going to do it for us. We're going to wrap it up. I really appreciate everybody who joined us. Oh, I didn't even read. Oh, goodness. Sword Art Online video game series consists of multiple action RPGs. Lethal Migraine gave me a description of Sword Art Online. And yeah, and AC Wraith was talking about it as well. I'm so sorry I missed those. I was just heavy into reading the articles that I had popped up. We're going to be back next week. You guys have a fantastic week. Happy Easter. And we've got music here from Echoes of the End, I think is the name of it. This is called Cursed to Hunger, is the name of the track. You guys have a great week, and we will see you next Saturday. Good night.